Welcome to Poets and Philosophers, Episode 4. This is Gwillem, your host with Radio Earthrights. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be talking to you and letting you know that we're going to continue with this whole series, and we're going to explore some wonderful spots. So buckle up. We got some great stuff coming. Sit back and enjoy. Talk later.
Death's always been a popular subject for humour where I come from, where in many towns the smoke from the crematoriums is the only sign of life. My elderly aunt went to get measured for her coffin, and the undertaker said to her, "Well, Miss McGillivray, I suppose you'll be wanting the white satin lining. Normally the unmarried ladies has the white satin lining, and the married ladies has the purple satin lining, so I suppose you'll be wanting the white satin, Miss McGillivray." She glared at him. She says, "Well, I suppose it'll have to be the white satin since I was never married. But can I just have 4 or 5 purple ribbons so I wasn't entirely neglected?" Said truly of the hero Finn McCool that if one day goes by without his name being mentioned, the world will come to an end. So judging by the way things are going, it's just as well I mention his name to you tonight now. Finn was a great hero altogether, and it was said of Finn McCool's generosity that his house was the stranger's home, and if the leaves of the forests of the world were red gold and the waters of the world white silver, Finn would have given them all away. Well, Finn was hunting once. He was very fond of hunting. Why wouldn't he love it? His own nephews were hunting dogs under enchantment. Boys under enchantment as hounds, you know. And the greatest hunting dogs in the world they were, and their names were Bran and Sciolan. But it's not the story of Bran and Sciolan that I'm telling you tonight, though I do know it. Finn was out hunting one time, and he had with him one of his greatest friends, a man by the name of Conan Mowell. Now, that means Conan the Bald. They called him Conan the Bald, for he had no hair on his head, but he had that much hair on his back and his legs and his arms that they used to shave him once a week, and all the stockings and gloves that Finn or any of the heroes that Finn had with him ever wore were made out of the wool from Conan Mowell. You'll have heard of Conan the Barbarian, likely. That was named after this Conan by an old traditional idea called a rip-off. Conan Mowell. Remember the old joke about the bald-headed man at the party? There's this fella that had a bald head, and he had a friend of his, a good friend, that had a lot of hair left. And his friend that had the hair was at a party with his bald chum, and he wanted to make fun of this bald-headed man, you know. So he patted him on the bald head, and he went, "Ah! That feels just like my wife's behind." And the bald-headed man put his hand up to his own head and said, "Why, so it does." Conan Mowell. He never saw an open door, but he thought it his duty to walk through it. He never saw a man frown, but he thought it his duty to strike him. But it's not the story of Conan that I'm telling you tonight. Finn had with him this time also another great hero by the name Jermot of the Love Spot. And Jermot had a mark on his face, and he had to keep that covered with his hat. For if any woman saw it, she'd fall passionately in love with him. And he was one of the greatest hunters in the world, but he'd never hunt wild boar. But it's not the story of Jermot that I'm telling you. These three men, they were hunting one time in the island of Arran. Arran that is in the Clyde. God bless and keep it forever. Maybe they were hunting the white stag of Arran, but whatever they were hunting, they did not catch it. But the dark of the night caught them, hungry, weary, and far from home. They saw a wee light twinkling, winking away across the moors. They made their way towards that light, and they knocked on that door. And the door creaked open, and there on the steps is the old man with long white hair down at the heels of his feet, long white eyebrows like brushes on him, and he looked up to them and he said, "Oh, I see you standing there in the pouring rain. You'll just behave yourselves like gentlemen if you're going to come into my house. I'll have no shenanigans from the likes of you." Well, Conan looked at Finn, and Finn looked at Dermot, and very surprised they were to hear themselves spoken to so harshly by this little sprig of a man. Sprig of an old man, them the highest heroes in the land. And they followed him meek enough into his front room, and there was a wee white goat frisking about that room. And the old man said, "Will you just tether this white goat to that hook in the wall?" And he handed Conan a long grass rope, and he left the room. Well, Conan tried to tether that white goat, but he couldn't get near it. Dermot tried, and Finn himself after him, and not one of them better than the other. Till at last the old man came back into the room, and he tethered that goat as easy as he'd take one step after another. It was at this time a beautiful young woman came into the room as well. A very, very beautiful young woman, and not to make too long a tale out of it, for her hair was like the midnight and her eyes were like the morning. Not to make too long a tale out of it, they were all smitten with love for her, or something like it. And Dermot, whom all women loved, said to her, "Bright pulse of my heart and apple of my whole understanding, how can I ever pass one lonely hour of my life in the absence of your sweet company?" And other things that young men say on these occasions. But with an angry flash of her eye, she spun on her heels and left the room, saying, "Truly once I was once yours, and little enough you cared for me then." Well, slammed the door behind her and was gone, and it's little enough sleep they got that night for pure curiosity. And in the morning before they took their leave, Finn said to the old man, he said, "Sir, why was it that you could tether the white goat that none of us could catch? And why was it you spoke so sternly to us, the highest heroes in the land? And why was it that beautiful young woman spoke so harshly to Dermot, saying that once she had been his and he had cared not for her then? For truly neither he nor we have ever seen her before. And what is her name at all?" And the old man said, "Her name is Youth, and there's little enough that any of you cared for her while she was yours until she was gone. And the name of the wee white goat is the World, and there's none can bind that but me, and my name is Death."
Well, I had my ego in a broken heart, sat down in a corridor, sat down in a spook-like corridor, in a roofful space, in a jewel-tight box corridor. Well, I had my ego in a broken heart. Sat down in a city night space corridor, in a creature corridor, corridor of pyramid dream power. Well, I had my ego in a broken heart. Sat down in a Toltec corridor, in a farewell medicine dance corridor, in a swift dust storm corridor, in a subatomic plenum corridor, in a Bardo corridor. Rah, 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 rah. Well, I had my ego in a broken heart. Sat down in a transparent corridor, in a tyrannic conquistador's corridor, in a crystal-tiered corridor, in the angriest Bedouin's corridor, in a trenchant corridor. Well, I had my ego in a broken heart. Sat down in an empty blue sky corridor, in a sinking sun corridor, neurological pain corridor, dusty bone corridor, you taking my breath away corridor. Well, I had my ego in a broken heart. Sat down in a corridor, sat down in a spook-like corridor, in a rueful space, in a jewel tight box corridor.
They were kind, they were polite in their sophistication, smiling but never too loudly. Acting in civilized manner, an illusion of gentleness, always fighting to get their way. While the people see, the people know, the people wait, the people say, the closing of your doors will never shut us out. The closing of your doors can only shut you in. We know the predator. We see them feed on us. We are aware to starve the beast is our destiny. The times they were kind, they were polite, but never honest. We see your technological society devour you before your very eyes. We hear your anguished cries exalting greed through progress. While you seek material advances, the sound of flowers dying carry messages through the wind trying to tell you about balance and your safety. But your mind
is no more beneath
machines and the strings dangling from your puppeteer's hands, turning you, twisting you into forms and confusions beyond your control. Your mind for a job, your mind for a TV, your mind for a hairdryer, your mind for consumption. With your atom bombs, your material bombs, your drug bombs, your racial bombs, your class bombs, your sexist bombs, your ageist bombs, devastating your natural shelters, making you homeless on Earth, chasing you into illusions, fooling you, making you pretend you can run away from the ravishing of your spirit. While the sound of flowers dying carry messages through the wind, trying to tell you about balance and your safety. Trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness, leading us into the trap, believe in their power, but not in ourselves, piling us with guilt, always taking the blame, greed chasing out the balance, trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness, economic deity seizing power, through illusions created, armies are justified, class systems are democracy, God listens to warmongers' prayers, tyranny is here, divide and conquer. Trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness. Greed a parent. Insecurity the happiness companion. Genocide conceived in sophistication. Technologic material civilization. A rationalization. Replacing a way to live. Trying to isolate us in a dimension called loneliness. To God, we hope you don't mind, but we would like to talk to you. There are some things we need to straighten out. It's about these Christians. They claim to be from your nation. But man, you should see the things they do all the time, blaming it on you. Manifest destiny, genocide, maximize profit, sterilization, raping the earth, lying, taking more than they need in all the forms of the greed. We ask them why. They say it's God's will. Damn, God, they make it so hard. Remember Jesus? Would you send him back to them? Tell them not to kill him. Rather, they should listen. Stop abusing his name and yours. We do not mean to be disrespectful, but you know how it is. Our people have their own ways. We never even heard of you until not long ago. Your representative spoke magnificent things of you, which we were willing to believe. But from the way they acted, we know you and we were being deceived. We do not mean you or your Christian children any bad, but you all came to take all we had. We have not seen you, but we have heard so much. It is time for you to decide what life is worth. We already remember, but maybe you forgot. Look at us. Look at us. We are of earth and water. Look at them. It is the same. Look at us. We are suffering all these years. Look at them. They are connected. Look at us. We are in pain. Look at them, surprised at our anger. Look at us. We are struggling to survive. Look at them, expecting sorrow be benign. Look at us. We are the ones called pagan. Look at them on their arrival. Look at us. We are called subversive. Look at them descending from name callers. Look at us. We wept sadly in the long dark. Look at them hiding in technologic light. Look at us. We buried the generations. Look at them inventing the body count. Look at us. We are older than America. Look at them chasing a fountain of youth. Look at us. We are embracing Earth. Look at them clutching today. Look at us, we are living in the generations. Look at them, existing in jobs and debt. Look at us, we have escaped many times. Look at them, they cannot remember. Look at us, we are healing. Look at them, their medicine is patented. Look at us, we are trying. Look at them, what are they doing? Look at us, we are children of Earth. Look at them, who are they?
When all the overwork of life is finished once, and fast asleep we swerve no more beneath the knife, but taste that silence cold and deep. Forgetful of the highway's rough, forgetful of the thorny scourge, forgetful of the tossing surge, then shall we find it is enough. How can we say enough on earth? Enough with such a craving heart. I have not found it since my birth, but still have bartered part for part. I have not held and hugged the whole, but paid the old to gain the new. Much have I paid, yet much is due, till I am beggared sense and soul. I used to labor, used to strive for pleasure with a restless will. Now if I save my soul alive, all else what matters, good or ill? I used to dream alone, to plan unspoken hopes and days to come. Of all my past, this is the sum. I will not lean on child of man. To give, not to receive. I long to pour myself, my soul, not to keep back or count or leave, but king with king to give the whole. I long for one to stir my deep. I have had enough of help and gift. I long for one to search and sift myself, to take myself and keep. You scratch my surface with your pen. You stroke me smooth with hushing breath. Nay, pierce, nay, probe, nay, dig within. Probe my quick core and sound my depth. You call me with a puny call. You talk, you smile, you nothing do. How should I spend my heart on you, my heart that so outweighs you all? Your vessels are by much too straight. Were I to pour, you could not hold. Bear with me, I must bear to wait. A fountain sealed through heat and cold. bear with me days or months or years. Deep must crawl deep until the end, when friend shall no more envy friend, nor vex his friend at unawares. Not in this world of hope deferred, this world of perishable stuff, eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor heart conceived that full enough. Here moans the separating sea. Here harvests fail. Here breaks the heart. There God shall join and no man part. I full of Christ and Christ of me.
So we just heard from John Renburn and Robin Williamson, Finn and the Old Man, Ann Waldman, Bardo Corner, John Trudell and Tribal Voices from John's first album from the mid-1980s, Look at Us, and a bit of Victoriana, Christina Rossetti's The Heart Knoweth Its Own Bitterness. You are listening to Radio Free Earthrights, on the air for the last 17 years.
I touched the beginning, animating animals and tree gods, scratching out legends in cave walls. The days poured down into night as we watched. We mapped stars and peaks. We fought beasts. We caught food for the feast. And we walked two abreast to receive the bound wheat. The grass, black and strange. As we raised plains to ash, we laid claims, exchanged grains and made pacts. And we clashed and we strained. And the rains lashed. The young maids were brave, but they were made to lay flat. The old ways were too ingrained to make the reins snap. We laid traps. We gave our names back to the saints. We sang out thanks and complaints. We burned fat, arranged bones in the flames. Each bird a great catch. Our songs were spells, and our spells were plain facts. She lay down in the road where the people go by and declared herself willing to try. I lay down beside her, but all I could see were the feet as they walked over me. That's when she told me I was holy elixir. She said I thought I knew the world, but it was only a picture. She said we're all written in the holiest scripture. It's just we're living in this time that says no inhibitions, get yours, keep going the distance, no limits, and don't bother protesting because nobody listens. Besides, all your solutions dissolve under scrutiny and you can't stand a note of derision. Instead, seek approval to justify your existence. Have opinions but have no resolve or conviction. Just keep your head down, breathe the fumes and indulge your addictions. Routine is healthy. Ignore the affliction, the cost to the soul, and the constant constriction. Don't consider too closely, have no intermission. Keep throwing your fists in slow repetition. Most of us manage what makes you so different. Now you seem a bright spark. Go ahead, take the road with the pilgrims. Head for the temples of democracy, freedom, growth, reason, liberty, hope. But don't pay attention to what's hanging from the rope. She said, decode the language, unfold the symbols. Untold disciples got lost in the hillside. Following intellect, they let go of wisdom. And now they'll tell you the soul's a closed system. They sacrificed instinct to phony ambition. And now what they hold in their fist has become all that there is. But total existence needs meaning and myth. Many misjudged the way and got lost in the mist. Your loneliness is the symptom, not the sickness. The moment her lips said peace, my peace melted. I became a memory. I felt myself peel. I was atoms, magnesium, calcium. I was real. She said we are born of collision. We are the visions of a bigger vision. And yet, We run around like hamsters, spinning the wheel, spinning the wheel, spinning the wheel. I was on my knees then, begging for pardon. I was old and clothed in white garments, in a vast red desert where the rocks were dark blue and varnished. And a voice said, "This is the garden. Now you better start sowing, or there won't be a harvest." I came to, under a domed roof. The light was cold and clear and fragmented. There was people moving. I watched them. I saw a muscle of schoolgirls performing. I saw the ticket woman massaging the small of her back, and the young gent, neat as a crease in his work clothes. And the light, light as breath on the dirty old track.
And surely we will die without memory, coming to cold in the shadow of space. And if it isn't too late for the star to love you, spraying the sky with whispers attuned to galaxies hungry for flame. And if the tongue of night sings of albino winos till the morning light shafts the doorway, then surely we will die tonight, faceless at the white gate, sharing the smoke with ancient shapes and future garb. And you stand somewhere there on the other side, feeding on the pain of dreamlessness, where from the misty morning of white shadows and the unresisting need to destroy. Samael, Samael, I beg it may be forgiven, that they may be driven out of the black into the white. Only let the dazzle remain for gamblers to surprise. The strategic diamond, the throne of compressed bone in the unsure dark, where only light can forgive, and your mind is signed. Embers of echoes in the vastness disguise the yearning to burn blind eyes in arrogant displays of feeling. Running wild, these beasts will feast on the newborn kind, for surely we will die tonight unless we learn to ignore what the others live for on the other side of mourning. And the skin of nothing left by the same summer masks the faceless wanderer. Oh, let it happen, this weird to discover the shape of beauty in everything extreme. For surely we will die tonight, whether we will or whether we dream. Oh, Samael, forgive the dreamer, forgive the dream. The song of nothing is your lullaby. This is my history. New York City, 1992. There are blind spots everywhere. Someone stands on a stage begging for help. What is it eating my vitals and the vitals of my friends? Selling death is the business of the capitalist state. No longer loves cannot rise above the subway. Looking through the bicycle wheel, one remembers a pyramid. The prophets push up the sewer covers and enter the streets by night. We are crowded into small rooms which cannot contain us. A young mother dreams of wrecking crews, yet the children find the sun, the leaf, the bird. Make the tongue rare to fill the space with meaning. In the text, we presuppose keys, hope to find wetness. Once people slept in gardens, now not even photography can get you out of prison. Must I read the Science Times to know that the monarch's migration is a fragile journey? With a small amount of human negligence, everything could disappear. My last thought as I finally fell into a fitful sleep, my first thought as I picked up the telephone to get the bad news. Glamour will not save our wintering grounds. better to stay a caterpillar and munch leaves than to risk all for the dazzling moment of flight and the priceless illusion of freedom? Hardly. A butterfly's brain is only the size of a pinhead, yet it knows how to get to Mexico, hitching rides on winds and spiraling columns of warm air. But the end of monarchs as we know them is here. I am learning to stay quietly in this apartment with my mother, waiting for Lakshmi. We are dead souls on a cyclical journey. Future tourists will come to marvel at our poems, festooning the gables of a broken civilization. Motels will be named after us, and children will parade in monarch costumes when the season of our return is remembered. Goodbye, elephant. Goodbye, whale. Hello, AIDS virus. Smaller is perhaps stronger after all. My dreams were bigger than any whale, and sometimes I dove even deeper.
That man to me seems equal to the gods. The man who sits opposite you and close by listens to your sweet voice. And your enticing laughter that indeed has stirred up the heart in my breast. For whenever I look at you, even briefly, I can no longer say a single thing, but my tongue is frozen in silence, and instantly a delicate flame runs beneath my skin. With my eyes, I see nothing. My ears make a weary noise. A cold sweat covers me. Trembling seizes my body. And I am greener than grass, lacking but little of death do I seem.
But everybody, you see, who is at all sensitive and awake to their own problems and human problems, is trying to change himself. We know we can't change the world unless we change ourselves. If we are all individually selfish, we're going to be collectively selfish. If we don't really love people and only pretend to, somehow we've got to find a way to love. After all, it's said in the Bible, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and your neighbor as yourself." You must love. Yeah, we all agree. Sure. But we don't. In fact, one psychologist very smartly asked a patient, "With whom are you in love against?" And this particularly becomes appalling when we enter into the realm of higher things, by which I mean spiritual development. Everybody these days is interested in spiritual development. And wisely, because we want to change our consciousness. Many people are well aware that this egocentric consciousness is a hallucination, and that they presume it's the function of religion to change it. because that's what the Zen Buddhists and yogis and all these people in the Orient are doing. They are changing their state of consciousness to get something called Satori, or mystical experience, or nirvana, or moksha, or what have you. And everybody around here is really enthused about that, because you don't get that in church. I mean, there have been Christian mystics, but the church has been very quiet about them. But in the average church, all you get is talk. There's no meditation, no spiritual discipline. They tell God what to do interminably, as if he didn't know. And then they tell the people what to do, as if they could or even wanted to. And then they sing religious nursery rhymes. And then, to cap it all, the Roman Catholic Church, which did at least have an unintelligible service, which was... which was, you know, it was real mysterious and suggested vast magic going on. They went and put the thing into bad English. And they took away incense, and they became a bunch of Protestants, and the thing was just terrible. So now all these Catholics are at loose ends. As Claire Booth Luce put it, not to be a pun, but she said, you know, it's no longer possible to practice contemplative prayer at Mass. Because you're being advised, exhorted, edified all the time. And it becomes a bore. Think of God listening to all those prayers. Talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. It's just awful. People have no consideration for God at all. So... But in pursuing these spiritual disciplines, yoga and Zen and so forth, and also psychotherapy, there comes up a big difficulty. And the big difficulty is this. I want to find a method whereby I can change my consciousness. Therefore, to improve myself. But... The self that needs to be improved is the one that is doing the improving. And so I'm rather stuck. I find out the reason that I think I believe, say, in God, is that I sure hope that somehow God will rescue me. In other words, I want to hang on to my own existence. And I feel rather shaky about doing that for myself, but I just hope there's a God who'll take care of it. Or if I could be loving, I would have a better opinion of myself. I'd feel better about it. I could face myself, as people say, if I were more loving. So the unloving me, somehow, by some gimmickry, has to turn itself into a loving me, and this is just like trying to lift yourself off the ground with your own bootstraps. It can't be done. And that's why religion, in practice, mainly produces hypocrisy and guilt, because of the constant failure of these enterprises. Oh, people go and study Zen. And they come back and say, wow, getting rid of your ego is a superhuman task. I assure you it's going to be very, very difficult to get rid of your ego. You're going to have to sit for a long time and you're going to get the sorest legs. It's hard work. And all you wretched kids who think you're getting rid of your ego on pot or something or other and easy yoga, you don't know what you're in for when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty. Well, you know, the biggest ego trip going is getting rid of your ego. And the joke of it all is your ego doesn't exist. There's nothing to get rid of. It's an illusion, as I tried to explain. But you still want to ask how to stop the illusion. Now, who's asking? I mean, do you think, in the ordinary sense in which you use the word I, how can I stop identifying myself with the wrong me? Well, the answer is simply you can't. Now, the Christians put this in their way when they say that mystical experience is a gift of divine grace. Man, as such, cannot achieve this experience. It is a gift of God, and if God doesn't give it to you, there's no way of getting it. Now, that is solidly true. You can't do anything about it because you don't exist. Well, you say, that's pretty depressing news. But the whole point is, it isn't depressing news. It is the joyous news. There's a Zen poem which puts it like this, talking about it. It means the mystical experience, Satori, the realization that you are the eternal energy of the universe, like Jesus did. It says like this: you cannot catch hold of it, nor can you get rid of it. In not being able to get it, you get it. When you speak, it's silent. When you are silent, it speaks.
So, we just heard Kate Tempest, Holy Elixir, Ira Cohen, Song of Nothing, Sappho, read by Tracy Ferrara, Alan Watts, Change the World by Changing Yourself. Radio Earthrights is made possible by our kind subscribers.
Play me some beautiful, dreamy music, dear Prince.
Hey!
Subconscious mind, my lords, my ladies, gentlemen. Have you ever swung along a beautiful country road with a gleam of sweet life in the air, groovy with gold in your pocket, riding a wild set of wheels at an easy pace? Are you there? Everything is smooth and cool. There's some traffic, but not too much traffic. But it's all right, you see, because you've got everything covered. Understand? And you're driving along in the feel of the sun, and the radio's swinging a beautiful, crazy, wild tune. And you feel so good, you feel right in there, tight. Can you feel it? Yes. And suddenly your mind goes over to Hitleyville. You start thinking about a beautiful girl that you met there 5 years ago. And what a gasser she was. Oh, take me now! Beautiful. Have your nose rubbed in a rose garden so many roses you can't tell later. You can think about how charming she was, how gracious her people were, what a ball you had, what a beautiful time, how sweet, how generous, how crazy, how like a home in a home in a home in a home home. Kick it was. And you got to think of how you went out to the lake and you, man. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. And you go many, many other places along that Rosetta, the Reverie Creek, and all of a sudden you say, what am I doing? What's right there? Is everything all right? I haven't hit anything. I don't think I have. No. Those fenders all right? Yes. Good. Excellent. Well, better watch what I'm doing here. Who do you think's been driving while you were gone?
I'll give you my next poem, Death. Look, he said, You've got spider traps all along this wall. It's fascinating. He was outside my door, peering at the stucco wall. I said, come on in. He said, no, wait. And he got a twig and found some ants. And he said, Bukowski, I'm going to make this ant run the gauntlet. The phone rang, and I answered the phone. And all I was talking and listening, he said, Bukowski, he got away from the first spider. Now the second one is out, and he's got the ant by the rear legs. Listen, Linda, I said, I've got a visitor, and also my toilet stopped, and the shit is coming up through the tub. Bukowski, he said, now the spider is throwing a net over him. He's weaving around and around. Now he's moving in, Bukowski. Now he's got him. Death. The landlord came in. It'll take a little while to clear it up, he said. He was talking about the shit. All right, I said. Linda, I said, shit and death is everywhere. I'll call you back, she said. Now I've got a spider, said my visitor, and I'm giving him to the ants. I walked outside. For Christ's sake, kid, will you stop playing this spider-ant game? Let's go for a ride. The landlord gets very nervous when he plays with the plumbing. Look, he said, the ants are chopping the spider's legs off one by one. Good strategy, I said. Let's go. We drove down to Norm's and had breakfast. My friend commented continually on humanity. He didn't think they were much. I didn't argue. My friend was a great admirer of Ernest Hemingway. I drove him to Hollywood and Normandy and let him out. When I got back, the shit was still in the tub. I didn't want to take a bath anyway.
Around the corner from the cops, the guards, the hounds, I made them up my resistances. A tympanic membrane. I made them up a code which has plumage, where the letters and digits sprout wings, grow feathers and making them sleek and possible. Help, 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 help us now as we live. The vox of the code sings to you in deregulated time. Be ready, though you languish in the new frequency. Be ready, though you fight for exuberance. Your card arises. Be ready. An ancient text that has no muzzle of purpose would be unconditional in Edenic time. The tarot culls, then falls. It puzzles the male adversaries. You are the force majeure. You better awaken. The solstice is upon you. The equinox will lift your dawn. The skirts of all the tribes will find alignment. Line up in the astral dance. The notion is to secede from vocabulary they give you at birth and its constraints. Words like location, private, strategy, him, his, that will pick up pieces for all women. New Shekinahs. The glass shatters. New Shekinahs. The glass shatters. Words like futurity, like pagan, like heresy. The shell game continues, finding its small proof. Crepuscular in a season as escape from hell. You are being tested, all your orality of desire, all sighs and plans for survival. You are being tested in your lioness mouth. Gather ashes for the twilight of the protest from the fire force majeure. The code is training the acolytes. The poetry is finally visible. Your tears are the dialectic of all truth. Bubbling up, 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 bubbling up, 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 up from the cauldron. How may I sound my feet and hands? What sounds of alarm at twilight? How may I break the code and sing?
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison, "Carry on the struggle." The generations surged together in resistance to meet the reality of power. Mother Earth embraces her children and natural beauty to last beyond oppressor's brutality. As the butterfly floats into life, we are the spirit of natural life, which is forever. The power of understanding, real connections to spirit, is meaning our resistance, our struggle, is not sacrifice lost. It is natural energy, properly used. One time, I was visiting with my relatives. The clouds, the mountains, the sky, the trees. My relatives touched my spirit, nudged it lovingly. "Listen to us, impatient one. We are forever. You must remember the gentleness of time. You are struggling to be who you are. You say you want to learn the old ways. Struggling to learn when all you must do is remember. Remember the people. Remember sky and earth. Remember the people have always struggled to live in harmony, in peace. Struggle against selfishness and weakness so the people may live as nations. The old ways are hard. The people have always had to work together. Remember, impatient one. Remember and live. Do not be afraid of truth. Respect, discipline, share your life so the people may live. Honor sky and earth. Honor yourself. Honor your relations. Remember, impatient one, the gentleness of time." Grandmother Moon, you are more than light in the night. You are more than the moon. You are spirit connection. Your energy is our life. You are memories to generations past. You are the creator of sensations that will always last. You are the knowledge, the teacher, the influence to keep the people sane. You are a healer for spirit pain. Grandmother Moon, we love you. And we are angry at the invaders who trash you and violate our universe with their mechanical uncleanliness. We pray for you, for us, and for the invader who just can't comprehend respect, love, or the balance of life. We do not join the invading madness. From the way they act, it speaks of spirit sadness. Machine money progress is the cause of our common abuse. We see you, Grandmother. We feel you. We love you. We know through your reality we will endure. We are one. We pray for you. We pray to you. Grandfathers whispering in the wind, rejoice at the life you are a part of. Natural energy bound to natural laws. You will survive this temporary madness imposed upon you. Natural life is longer than oppressor's illusionary insanity. Spirits experience human deeds but need not end. This is just one place of changes. Spirit life is forever if you want. The universe is your home. You can survive here. Do not let them kill you. Keep your spirit strong. For distant stars and distant drums are the memories of spirit infancy. Children of Earth, let the spirit live so you can grow in your place in the universe.
And rounding up the first part of this podcast and radio show is Lord Buckley's Subconscious Mind, Charles Bukowski's Death, and Waldman and Nolan's Crepuscular. And we round out this session with John Trudell's Grandmother Moon. Stay tuned for the second half of Poets and Philosophers, Episode 4.